Good morning. It's 7:08. This is Upfront. I'm Janine Etter. If you haven't had a chance to listen to our Oakland mayoral coverage on last week's show, you can find it archived at kpfa.org. Also would like to provide a correction on the mispronunciation of Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf's name. I mistakenly get Schaaf stuck in my head when referring to the mayor. However, I'm aware of the pronunciation of Mayor Libby Schaaf's name and apologies for the minor mispronunciation. And moving along from the Oakland mayor's race to the city of Richmond elections. In less than 2 weeks, Richmond residents will head to the polls to cast their ballots with issues ranging from a two-horse mayoral race featuring candidates whose primary difference stems from their approaches to lifting Richmond out of the economic shadow of its fellow East Bay cities, to a hotly contested city council race featuring a whopping 13 candidates vying for 3 seats that could very well shift the balance of power in the city. The people of Richmond will also be tasked with whether or not to approve 2 measures, T and H, that have implication for the city's ability to generate affordable housing. John Gigliardi is a reporter covering the Richmond election for the East Bay Express, here to help us make some sense of Richmond's election day ballot. John, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So let's start with the mayor's race, Melvin Willis and Tom Butts. These two candidates, what are their visions for how to bring prosperity to Richmond?
The mayor's race in Richmond is a very interesting one because it represents 2 different generations. Mayor Tom Butt, the current mayor, has been in Richmond politics for 23 years. He's an architect, and he's been a tireless city servant for the city. I mean, it's very difficult to measure the impact he's had on the city. He's been involved in so much. A short list of things that he's done include revitalizing a lot of World War II buildings and turning them into sources of local pride and also economic generators. For example, the Craneway Pavilion, which was formerly known as the Ford Building, is now a very successful office park, and it has a world-class entertainment convention venue right on the bay. It's an excellent example of repurposing some of these old World War II buildings. He's also largely been a good government official. It's something that's very rare. I mean, he's very transparent. His office door is always open. Very sort of straightforward about his positions. And he's just, over the years, he's had a huge impact on the transformation of Richmond from this sort of hard scrabble, tough little city into a much different place. It's become much more inviting, much more popular, much more attractive to people not from Richmond, not familiar with it. And that a lot of that is due to Mayor Tom Butt. Melvin Willis he sort of represents the youthful Richmond. You say he's 27 years old. He's got a very sort of dynamic personality. He's a handsome guy, but not too handsome, so it's torturous. He's charismatic, but not so charismatic that when he walks into a room, he draws every little bit of attention in the room. He's smart, but not pedantic. He's very earnest. And he's also very progressive. So I think he and Tom Butt want a lot of the same things for Richmond, but their approach is different.
Right, and that leads to my next question. The issue separating the two is how to generate economic stimulation for Richmond. Tom Butt believes his ferry operation, scheduled to start in January 2019, is the answer, and development. And Willis believes this will bring a wave of gentrification and rising housing costs. What's the impact of Butts Ferry program on Richmond?
Ferry programs, as a PR device, they're incredible. People love the idea of a ferry. And I think it's really going to help Richmond in the process of transforming its image. I mean, in reality, I don't know how many people actually use fairies. They can people like the idea of it—the wind blowing through their hair as they're, you know, riding the waves across the bay to you know, glamour San Francisco. But you know, there's also parking issues and the you know, the time involved. And then once you're in San Francisco, there's more transportation issues. So it remains to be seen how successful it's going to be. But certainly, as a public relations device, as a as an amenity, it's going to make Richmond very, very attractive. And this is something that Tom Budd has worked on for decades. I mean, he's been working for a ferry for those very reasons. Melvin Willis also supports the ferry, but he's a little reluctant about it because he sees it as not only bringing people back and forth across the bay, but also bringing gentrification, which is something he worries about. He feels that gentrification might mean the displacement of people who've been in Richmond for generations. So he's cautious.
Well, what will the impact be on affordable housing?
Affordable housing, well, this is the philosophies between the two candidates is also interesting. Tom Budd is a huge advocate of development, largely because that will generate funding through the inclusionary taxes for building affordable housing. So more development means more affordable housing. Melvin Willis is concerned that the new development will create the gentrification, right, which will shoot up rents and home prices, thereby you know, exiling people who have been there for a long time and disrupting communities, et cetera. So it's two different visions. It's hard to know exactly what the impact was going to be. And then, you know, there's other issues surrounding this, too. The development issue is one of the other issues is Prop 10, which could get rid of Costa Hawkins, which would not allow cities to which if Costa Hawkins is gone, it would sort of Costa Hawkins puts a governor on rent control, so rent control can only go so far. If Prop 10 succeeds, those controls will be gone. So they could really strengthen rent control, which would make the city less attractive to developers.
And what other issues is Melvin Willis passionate about, other than affordable housing and gentrification?
Melvin is very community-oriented, so his first priority will always be the communities that have been there for a long time. He's from Richmond, you know, he grew up there, and he's very concerned with sort of protecting the status quo. He doesn't want anyone to be displaced, so he wants to keep progress in Richmond to a minimum. I mean, I might be overstating his position on that. I mean, he wants Richmond to grow economically, of course, but only with certain protections for very specific communities.
But Richmond has become a more attractive city because of the gentrification in Oakland and Berkeley, San Francisco.
Yeah, Richmond has really been successful over the last 20 years. I mean, they didn't turn it on a dime, but the city officials have really transformed the city's image from a smoggy, you know, smog choked, crime ridden industrial city into someplace that's becoming very, very attractive. I mean, the shoreline is really beautiful now. There's parks, there's bicycle paths, jogging paths. There's thousands of acres of open space, Point Mulati and Wildcat Canyon, just beautiful open space. It just seems to go on forever. And it's more people are looking at it and sort of enjoying its transformation. I mean, Richmond has a lot of character, like you don't find in suburban areas. It's got all this great World War II history, interesting buildings. It's not overdeveloped, so it still feels like a small town. And all those things have been elevated over its, you know, its reputation in the past for what we used to call it the newspaper of the three C's, crime, corruption, and Chevron. Those things have sort of fallen into the background. Corruption's way under control, crime's down, and Chevron it's been very silent in politics. It used to control the city, and it doesn't the way it used to.
But with the healthcare system and Alta Bates closing and Berkeley, Richmond is going to have some struggles dealing with healthcare in the city.
It's one of the big problems facing Richmond right now is healthcare. Doctors Hospital closed down, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. And that put a lot of pressure on Alta Bates and Berkeley to take the overflow. And now with Alta Bates closing, it's kind of leaving Richmond high and dry in terms of emergency healthcare. And it's a problem that's going to have to be resolved.
Well, in terms of the mayoral race, what is Melvin Willis's biggest hurdle in unseating Tom Butt?
I think Melvin is going to have to overcome a general perception that he's still very young. And, you know, the good news for Melvin is even if he loses the mayor's race, he's still going to be on the council. And, you know, and I think there's a lot of people in Richmond who feel like he still needs a little bit more time to mature into the position of mayor. A lot of people believe that he's still a little bit too young, a little bit too raw yet for it. He also made a proposal. One of his campaign planks was cutting the budget for the police department by 20% and rerouting those funds into community programs. And, you know, that as a campaign plank, I mean, it's interesting. It got him a lot of attention. But I don't know if using it as a campaign plank was the best thing to do because people get nervous about that sort of thing.
So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the city council race. 13 candidates for 3 seats. Which candidates have the most coherent strategies to tackle homelessness, affordable housing, economic growth for Richmond?
Well, those are all very tough issues. So I don't know. It's hard to say who has the best strategy because I don't know if there's a city in the Bay Area that's been really successful. Particularly homelessness. That seems to be a huge problem. I mean, San Francisco and Oakland were just chastised by a national organization for the lack of proper homeless care. It's a tough problem to fix. But the candidates who are the strongest in the race tend to be the Richmond Progressive Alliance candidates. And that's largely because of the infrastructure the RPA has built up over the years. They're sort of a grassroots organization that has very progressive values. And they had really smart campaign strategies and a lot of hardworking people to walk precincts and that sort of thing. And it's resulted in them taking control of the council. 5 of the 7 council members are RPA members. So this election, in part, is going to be a referendum, I believe, on the RPA. They've been in power now for 2 years, and Richmond residents are going to take a look at, you know, what they've done and whether or not they want to try something else, I think. The 3 seats that are open on the council were all held by RPA members. So Eduardo Martinez and Ada, I always have trouble with her name.
Ricinos,
yeah, are up for re-election. And they probably both stand a fairly good chance of keeping their seats just from name recognition. But they're being challenged by some fairly serious candidates. Cesar Cepeda is well known around the city. He's a neighborhood guy from the Hilltop area who's very well respected just simply by his hard work alone. He seems to be everywhere at once. There's sort of a new guy on in the city, Dan Schoenfeld, who seems to be very popular. He's a local business guy, a teacher. And people are talking about him a lot. And there's also another young guy who people really like, Demlis Johnson III, who's born and raised in Richmond, 3 generations. North Richmond, I think his family came from originally. And he's just one of these guys who sort of has an infectious personality, very, very earnest. You can tell he's hardworking. And he's one of the people that people are talking about. I don't know, but it's going to be interesting to see because the council, that's seated after the election is going to be the council that's really going to take Richmond into the into a very distinct future from what it's been over the since World War II.
And what about Virginia Ramirez?
She's presented very well at the candidate forums.
Is she the youngest candidate running? 28.
I'm not sure if Ada, I think, is younger.
Oh, okay.
Or they're the same age, 27, 28. Yeah, there's a very, some very young people in the field, candidates, and also some of Richmond's old guard is among the candidates. But Virginia is a legal assistant. She also presents very well, professional in the forums. And among these newcomers, there's a Nat Bates. Nat Bates is he was a council member first in the 60s. He's largely considered to be conservative and closely associated with Chevron. And he's often a target of the left. I like Nat Bates. So I always feel like he doesn't get the respect he deserves. He's one of the first African-American elected officials in the Bay Area. And he comes from a different Richmond and therefore has a different style that may not play so well with the new generation of Richmond residents. And then another former council member is Jim Rogers, who had he was a former supervisor, very well known largely from he was an attorney who used to run commercials on TV as the people's lawyer. So he had huge name recognition from that. And he was able to turn that into, I think, three or four terms on the city council.
And can you talk a little more about, really briefly, about the Richmond Progressive Alliance?
Yeah, the RPA, as I mentioned, had been very, very successful in gaining power in Richmond. Their chief target, political target, for years was Chevron. And they were very successful in getting Chevron out of Richmond politics. Chevron used to be, Richmond was really a company town, to the point where Chevron had an executive who had a desk in the city manager's office. I mean, that's how close city and business were. But the RPA essentially put an end to that. After in 2014, Chevron ran a series of councils candidates who were, they were kind of a rogues gallery. There was a former cop who had been kicked off the force for stealing cocaine and a firearm from the evidence locker. There was a woman who was the topless mermaid at Bimbo's in San Francisco. So her image was floating around this giant fish tank that was over the bar. And there was a school official who was being investigated by a series of federal agencies for
there's a lot going on.
Yeah, it wasn't the best lineup of candidates, and Chevron put millions of dollars to essentially try to buy its way back onto the council, and it was a huge failure. Their attempt to do so got national attention, and since then they've just been very quiet in the elections. But back to the RPA. They're very successful in gaining power, but as they gained power, there's more and more divisions within the organizations. There was racial strife, competing political philosophies. So the question is, where does the RPA go from here?
So let's move on really quickly to the two measures, Measure H and T. What should voters know about each of these measures to make an informed decision?
Well, these are both measures that are going to increase taxes in Richmond. Now, Richmond is already the highest tax city in the Bay Area, so it's a hard sell. Measure H is going to slap an additional tax or an increased tax on property transfer taxes. So homes that are sold for over $1 million would be bumped up to a 1.25% transfer tax that would go to the city. Homes over $3 million would be 2.5%. And, right now, I don't know how many homes are selling for over $1 million in Richmond, but I can tell you it's not a lot. Richmond still kind of has its working class sort of ethos. Homes are, still relatively affordable. And but that in the future, that could change. That could change really quickly, so it could be valuable in the future. Measure T is a tax on undeveloped property. So lots that have no improvements on them would be taxed, like $3,000 a year. I might be wrong in that number, but that money would go to homeless services, and also code enforcement.
Okay. Is there anything else that you'd like to add about the upcoming Richmond elections?
Well, the issue to watch in the short term is going to be Point Mulati. Point Mulati is like a 400-acre property right on the waterfront that had been a naval fuel depot. It turned it over to the city in the 1990s, and ever since the Navy turned this property over, it's been tied down in lawsuits. At one point, there was a proposal to build a Las Vegas-styled casino there. That fell through, and now the big issue is whether or not Point Mulati will be developed. It's been approved for up to 460 condos, and there's factions in the city led by Mayor Tom Butt that want to carry out that development, and there's also factions in the city that want to turn it into a park. So it's a huge controversy right now.
Well, John Gagliardi, a reporter covering the Richmond election for the East Bay Express, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.